Moncrief on News Talk.
Two people who know that the soul moves at the speed of a trotting camel are with us now in the studio. Barbara and Declan, good afternoon.
Is that the
what moves the
fish,
at the speed
the
of
a... soul?
No, it's apparently it's an Arabic proverb. The soul moves at the speed of a trotting camel.
Okay. The soul moves at... Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I've no idea. I'm not sure how fast or slow trotting camels move.
Not very fast.
Not fast.
I think it's, no.
They slowly...
Oh, well,
slowly.
I saw Lawrence of Arabia and they trot quite fast.
Okay, well,
a very long shot.
That would be a camel on a big sprint. Now, they do camel
racing. They do camel racing.
They
yeah,
do,
so
yeah.
They must be able to get up a bit of speed. They have long legs.
But this is a trotting camel, though.
A trotting camel.
Yeah.
And
so,
you're the soul, S-O-U-L.
S-O-U-L, like, which means it kind of... Well, it's supposed to mean that in, you know, when you rush through a place,
okay,
your soul, you leave your soul behind,
oh, you leave it
and
behind.
The soul doesn't absorb the, you know, where you are kind
oh,
of thing.
I see,
it's kind
right.
of, you know, faux mindfulness thing.
Yeah.
Now, it's...
I thought you meant like I left my heart in San Francisco kind of way.
No, it's probably no one said it at all. It was probably made up 3 weeks ago. Yeah. And then now it's, oh no, it's an Arabic proverb dating from last Tuesday. Anyway,
yes,
here's the
indeed.
First problem.
Okay.
I'm hoping you can help me. I've just come back from maternity leave after having my first child. I was on maternity leave for just over 10 months. I hold a fairly senior position within my company. Since my return, my boss has been full of praise. Apparently, my stand-in was not up to the job, so he's really happy to have me back. What's more, a few comments have been made about another more senior role that's become vacant. I've basically been told on the QT that the job is mine. There's just one problem. I've just found out that I'm 11 weeks pregnant. On the one hand, I'm thrilled because I'm 41 years old and there was a time I thought I might not ever have children. On the other hand, I really want this promotion. I'm definitely a good fit for the role. However, if I tell my employer, I don't think that I will get the job. Is it wrong to take the job and tell them I'm pregnant afterwards? This may sour our relationship, but let's be honest, no one will promote a pregnant woman, or will they?
Gold.
Ding, ding, ding.
The joys of being a woman. Could you imagine if men got pregnant and had babies? There would be very clear pathways around all of this
absolutely,
stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it would all be very much geared towards supporting the man who is pregnant and about to have a baby, which would be all celebrated, rather than women having to try and kind of deal with all this kind of dilemma in their own heads and
but
in their own way.
But if men actually did get pregnant, then women would probably run the world.
Yeah, but I still think we'd be... Yeah. But then men would be women, like...
It basically,
yeah. Okay, I don't know how to answer
that. It's so confusing.
Yeah.
They, them over there, come on, hurry up.
Anyway, from what I can ascertain, from a legal standpoint, I think you only have to give your employer 4 weeks notice of your intention or your requirement to take maternity leave. So you don't have to tell them, as far as I could work it out. So it's up to you, basically, when you decide to tell them. And I thought about this for a bit, and I was kind of, because it is a kind of a dilemma that you would wonder what's the best thing to do. I think if it were me, having given it some thought, I would wait until you were actually offered the job, until you have a firm, here's this job, it is yours, not on the QT, out and above board and a formal offer of the job.
Okay.
And I would accept the job, as that is clearly what you want. And then I would tell them that I was also pregnant. And again, I would imagine that on...
That's like a double episode, Christmas episode
is,
of EastEnders
it?
Going on there. It's a
yeah,
lot.
It is. But I think when I was trying to look at it from the boss's standpoint, from what she says about he's delighted she's back because the stand-in didn't do a good job and presumably she's doing a very good job.
Yeah, yeah.
If he's presented with the fact that, yes, I'm into this, I want this promotion, I want to take the job, but I'm also now pregnant, so I will be gone for another however many 10 months or whatever she said. I think he'd be quite happy to probably say, OK, we'll work it out until you can come back and take over the role. Obviously, I don't know. Can you? I don't think legally, if you're offered the job, it can be withdrawn. The offer can be withdrawn on the basis of
being
pregnant.
Not on that.
So,
no.
You know, you might. She said, what did she say? It'll sour our relationship. Well, that's a poor reflection on your manager, your boss, if it does. And I mean, you are pregnant, so you don't have a lot of alternatives. I mean, the alternative is to say, I'm not taking the job because I'm pregnant. And that's not a viable option either. So to me, I'd wait till you get the job offer. For the firm job offer, I would accept it. And immediately after that, I would make him aware, or she, make him or her aware, that that you are pregnant. As for the comment at the end about no one will promote a pregnant woman, I really hope to God that's not the case. I mean, I'm out of the corporate world a bit too long that to know, but maybe our listeners will have some kind of insight in that one, because I really hope that's not
the case. I don't think anyone would ever admit it, but I'm sure it's a factor.
Yeah, I think that's actually the point, isn't it? Is the gap between what would be considered to be the law to protect a class of people versus what's actually happening in reality in companies. I think that you said lots of things there that I totally agree with. I think from her perspective, the law, the equality legislation that's in place to protect pregnant women would actually be an obligation to the employer. So by not telling, what I'm saying is by not telling the employer that she's pregnant, what she's actually doing is precluding them from making a decision based around the fact that she's pregnant, which actually kind of bizarrely helps them to not fall foul of the law. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Suing them herself.
Yeah, exactly. So in a bizarre way, by keeping Storm now, she's actually protecting kind of everybody from discrimination. You know?
Good news. I've done you a favour.
But the reason why I'm saying this first is because what that does is it kind of gives an intellectual legalistic cover for her to proceed to take the job. She would like out of the situation. Because, as you've already pointed out, the world would be a lot different if men, you know, with all that stuff that you said earlier on. So what's actually happening here is that her pregnancies are kind of coming in and taking her off the train track of her career that she has ambitions for and that she's clearly good at.
Yeah.
And in the long view of time, clearly her employers think that she is right for the job she has.
Yeah.
And potentially right for the job that she wants and has a career going forward, irrespective of whether or not there's pregnancies and time taken out of that situation too. So my view.
So are you agreeing with me?
But I'm saying that I'm saying I agree with you, but I also don't think that the dilemma is as kind of nasty as that she feels. And I think that, because if it is, as you pointed out, if it is for the employer, then the employer has been either blatantly discriminatory or just kind of shady and not really.
But you can understand just on a human level that she comes back to work and they're going, "Thank God you're back." You know, and obviously she likes her job, she values her job, and she feels a bit guilty now. And that's pretty reasonable. That, you know, and that you would have a kind of a, of course you're entitled to your.
But anybody's an employer will tell you that that's a daily concern for them, is whether or not X, Y, and Z person is going to be sick, is going to be pregnant, is going to leave, whatever it is. You know, human resources is an issue on a daily basis, and that's just one way in which it may be. You know, and I'm using scare quotes here, you know, a pregnancy may be a problem for an employer in that way, because it's just a kind of a headache to deal with in that day.
But I mean, the other thing is, like, as Sean said, like, that HR have to deal with a myriad of different issues with staff, from, you know, kind of health issues, mental health issues, things that are much more open ended. This is a very much defined kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, being pregnant, taking maternity
leave. And it's legally protected.
Yeah, exactly.
Even when she's off maternity leave, she has to be treated like she's actually at work.
Yes.
Like, it's a legal protection.
Yes.
And the thing about legal protections is, and I know this as a gay person, that the legal protection in itself is more like a scaffold around, like, a kind of an aspiration for society. People can still be mean despite or in spite of those protections.
Well,
you have full right to lean on them to protect you in certain situations in order to give you an even playing field in whatever sphere you're working in. So again, I think at the end of the day, she's not the first woman to kind of come off maternity and then be off again.
And she's entitled to it. She's entitled to it, and she shouldn't feel guilty. She's entitled to get pregnant. She's entitled to take maternity leave. You know, that's life, and she shouldn't.
And she's also entitled to have a career path that isn't scuppered. Because actually, as well, one thing I read when I was thinking about this, I read a case that happened in Ireland not that long ago where a person on maternity leave was not told of and then therefore excluded from a promotion opportunity at work. And when they came back to work, somebody who had been a subordinate was then promoted to be over them, and they took a case and they won and they got a big payout because that kind of activity is also protected under the legislation.
Yeah.
So it's a legal situation. It's not just a dilemma. Yeah. It's a legal situation and the law's on her side.
And I should point out, because people are texting and saying 10 months seems very excessive. Now, she's entitled to take as much maternity leave as she likes, and probably not all of that would have been paid anyway. Now, she hasn't said what she'd take this time, whether it would necessarily be another 10 months or not. Though it seemed like the majority of people agree with her. The woman is legally not required to tell them she's pregnant. Go for it. 15th week you have to notify your employer. Don't know about, not sure about the...
I think it's 4 weeks. I think you said it was four weeks.
4 weeks notice of their intention to take maternity leave.
So it doesn't matter. It's like 4 weeks.
During your recruiting process, she's under no obligation to tell them. Say nothing, as it isn't the situation worse if they discriminate. Absolutely agree. Get the job first, then tell them. You can't tell what's going to happen down the line. Though somebody says, Jesus, is Barbara smoking the glass pipe again?
I wish.
Whatever that means. Yeah. I'd say the boss would be furious if he offers her the job and then she says she's out for 10 months. It's deceitful.
It's not deceitful. No, it's not. She's perfectly entitled.
Yeah.
She's perfectly entitled to take the job and then take maternity leave. I don't know. Sorry now for that person.
And you don't have to tell your employer every single thing that's going on in your life anyway. Yeah. You know, it's actually sometimes it's strategically more, you know, it's the right thing to do. Do not talk about your personal life at work.
Was covering a job temporarily. I interviewed at 32 weeks pregnant for it and didn't get it. Came second for the role and was told I interviewed well. Tell her to say nothing. Convinced to this day that my very obvious bump was what stopped me from getting the job. Tell the employer once a contract has been signed. Someone else says, I was recently promoted to a senior position within professional services while 8 months pregnant with my second child. My promotion came into effect the day I started maternity leave. When going for the job, I was worried being pregnant would go against me, but the whole experience showed me employers, even stiff corporates, will value and promote talent if it's merited. Okay.
And she sounds like she, you know, that she is a valued employee.
Yeah. And I think that's the whole point, is that HR is a nightmare for people. So good staff are hard to find. Yeah. They want to hold on to you. And even if that means...
Yeah. Someone says she may be legally correct by not disclosing her pregnancy, but in actual fact, it's a low-down trick.
A trick?
Oh, there's trick. More women doing tricks.
Trick, imagine.
Tricky women. Tricky women. But the thing is, as you said, if she discloses the pregnancy and they don't give her the job, which it always kind of leaves that question hanging, did they not give her the job because she's pregnant, which is by itself illegal. The nice employers can turn, protect yourself. I have a long-term illness. I've never mentioned it before getting a job because the lovely bosses may have changed their minds and I would never have known. I've been having trouble with my housemate and it's finally reached a climax. I'm convinced he's slashing my bike tires.
Oh,
we've been living together 6 months now and we're strangers before this arrangement. We got on grand at the beginning. In fact, I used to lend him my bike during the week so he could get to work. This is important information. I changed jobs about 2 months ago and as a result, needed the bike myself for my daily commute. Here's where our relationship went sour. My housemate claimed he thought I'd given him the bike and that it was rude to take it back from him. After all that time, I tried to explain I was only allowing him to use it to be helpful and that I'd been still been taking it at the weekends. He claimed that he was just allowing me to use it to be nice. My own bike. Since taking the bike back, I've noticed it's often knocked over from where it's chained up outside the apartment. It's also been subjected to many mysterious scratches during this period. This has now culminated in my bike tyres being slashed last week. I'm sure this was my housemate. Our apartment block is quiet and has never had any criminal activity over the 5 years I've been living here. It can't be a coincidence that this has happened during my now vengeful housemate's tenancy. Should I confront him or am I being paranoid?
Wow, really, that kind of escalated quickly, didn't it?
It didn't adjust, yeah.
Yes, so... There's two issues here. One is the disintegration of the relationship with the person that you're actually sharing like a house with. And then two, there's the crime and the alleged perpetrator of said crime. I'm going to talk about that one first because the fact, you know, I use the word alleged like I'm in court because, you know, while you may have suspicions that this is what is happening, your suspicions may be coloured by the disintegration of your relationship and you now think that person is out to get you and all that kind of stuff. But in the absence of actually, you know, let's call it video footage of bikes being slashed by Brian in the room next door, you know, that's just your opinion and it's not really kind of, you know, it's not real. And I would therefore be very careful about slandering somebody with an accusation without proof. So that's the first thing. And I would say also that the disintegration of your relationship through poor communication in the first instance, I'm not blaming either of you, but it was just assumptions made about what was going on, and then the way in which the actual facts were kind of then decided, it wasn't a happy resolution for one of the parties. And regardless of whether or not that person is then going and kicking the bike over and, you know, throwing it, the dustbin.
Slashing the tires.
That's psycho stuff. That
very, I know, but it's very dramatic. Like, where is the bike kept? Are you keeping it out on the street? Because, you know, or is it actually within a space where only you and the, you know, your flatmate bike slasher?
Everybody has a nice bike shelter. their bikes,
you can get one for a couple of million these days.
You have to be very wealthy to have access to a bike shelter.
Ages to get through the committees. Look, my view is that if the bike slashing thing is likely to happen again, protect yourself from that happening again by putting the bike somewhere where, you know, few people have access to it. Maybe even, as some of our other letter writers have done, sticking a little camera somewhere you can actually keep an eye on your bike in a security measure, because you're worried about the, you know, the crime in the neighbourhood is obviously skyrocketing. Secondly, I would like, you know, I wouldn't be blaming somebody immediately without the facts. Because, I mean, I don't know.
No, I mean, that's
I think that's just fair. It's just a bit dramatic.
I love this because I think this smacks of Judge Judy, you know. But I thought you gave me that as a gift and I wouldn't have to give it
back.
That's
bizarre.
He's going, but it's my bike. Like, I didn't give it to you. I allowed you to borrow it. But I agree with you. I think without any evidence, you can't. He can't confront his flatmate. But I'd be a little bit more convinced than you are of the flatmate's guilt. Do you know,
because,
like, I think from what he said, it's highly likely that it is the psychopath that he's living with who has done this. If, you know, if somebody is slashing tires, you'd imagine, I'm sure he's not the only bike perhaps in the, like, I have the vision in my head, and we don't know, of an apartment complex. So there might be a couple of bikes parked. And if his were the only ones that's been knocked over or scratched and tires slashed,
it's a crime of passion. It's a crime of passion.
It's kind of pointing to your man. But what I would do is, because setting up a camera is a little bit like, you know, that's a bit, and you'll have the whole neighbourhood WhatsApp group going crazy, like, what's going on?
Amazing,
and, you know, there's crime and all kinds of things. I would bring the bike into the apartment, even if it's going to discommode you a little bit that you fall over it every time you go through the hall or you have it parked in a corner of your living room. I'd bring it in order to protect it, because then if nothing happens, nothing can happen, because if anything does happen, you'll know it's him.
Yeah.
And you're making your point, but without confronting him or saying anything. But you say, I had to bring in the bike because somebody, you know, is repeatedly attacking my bike. So I'm bringing it in. And now the bike is going to live over there beside the telly or in the hall where we have to climb over it. And that's it. Because in the long term, I wouldn't have a good feeling about this flatmate. And I'd say maybe
you're very suspicious,
or ship yourself out. I wouldn't be. Because, I mean, if he's willing to slash your tyres because his nose is a slight bit out of joint, I wouldn't be happy
God
about that.
God knows what he's capable of.
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy with that at all.
Yeah. I do agree with that. I think that somebody, the actual act itself is heinous, and if it's because of this story, then it's nuts that this is somebody whose sense of proportion is very scuppered at a place. But again, I refer back to the bit where you go, if you haven't got actual hard fact evidence that somebody's done something, accusing them, you know.
No, I agree with that. You can't accuse him. And if he's a bit of a psychopath, then he's
become the hysterical weirdo, and you become the dramatic one. And I do like your idea of bringing it into the house and maybe hanging
it,
getting a way to stick it up on the wall.
Up on the wall, you know, hang things out. We'd use it as a clothes horse, you know, whatever. But bring it in and then mind it, because you love your bike. And
most of the advice coming in is basically get a camera. Apparently, you can get camouflage cameras that nobody would see. But the others are saying, say to your man you've gone to the guards and they've a good idea who's done it and seeing what kind of reaction. But God knows.
Most people know if you go into the guards and say, my tire got slashed, I don't know who did it.
When
you have evidence.
They ring special brand straight away.
Like, I don't think the guards are going to. In all fairness to them.
It's a civil matter.
There's somebody else says, just give the housemate the bike. And then vandalise it yourself on a regular basis in revenge.
Oh my God.
I like that.
Right. I'm in too deep and I need your help. I'm a gay man and started seeing someone who's in a relationship about 6 months ago. They're open, so it's all above board. No home wrecking here. It's not something that I'd usually be interested in, but I developed a friendship with this guy on a dating app and it went from there. What initially started as hooking up has developed into sleepovers and now dates, as we've begun to enjoy each other's company more and more. I've been assured that his partner is aware of all that's going on and is cool with it, but I'm beginning to think I'm not. The truth is that I've developed feelings for this man. I found myself wishing he chooses to be with me. We've both said I love you. In fact, he said it first, which obviously fed my delusion of us ending up together. Is it even possible to be in love with more than one person? I do really love him and don't want to end things when I still enjoy all the time we spend together. But the logical and practical side of me is wondering, will this all end in tears? Should I quit while I'm ahead or continue to feed my fantasy?
What are we going to say? Will it all end in tears?
I can't see anything that could go wrong with this particular scenario.
This is not good. And I mean, to answer the last question, should I continue to feed my fantasy? I think he is kind of feeding a fantasy. I would be curious. I assume he's never met his boyfriend's partner, you know, because I would. The obvious question is whether this chap who he met on a dating app is being completely honest when he says that his partner knows that it's an open relationship and he's seeing other people and, you know, sleeping with other people and all the rest of it. That's the big question mark. Like,
absolutely.
Does the partner know or does the partner not know? But assuming you can't really find that out, I mean, you could certainly ask and, you know, if the partner might know and might not want to know anything about the liaisons that his boyfriend is having with other people. So to me, the question for this guy really boils down to, he's clearly falling in love with him and that's like great, but to me, you have to ask yourself, are you willing to settle for this kind of half relationship? Because your man hasn't given any signs that he's willing to give up on his partner.
No.
So he might be willing to say, I love you and keep things going the way they are. And if you're happy with that, well then, okay, maybe, fine. You'll have to take him at face value that his partner does know. But the whole thing is terrible messy, really. And, you know, I would be saying probably if you need to kind of get yourself out of there and you need to move on.
I think the reality of it is that the person, the guy who wrote the letter in, who's in this relationship with somebody who's already gone out with somebody, is the person with the kind of emotional problem, because the guy who's in this open relationship, whatever, is being quite open, if I can mean in a different sense. He's been quite clear about what his behavior is going to be and what he's, and he's not even lying when he's saying that he's in love with this guy, because perhaps that's just his particular way of being in the universe. But the problem is that his way of being in the universe isn't working for this guy, because this guy expects in some way to end up in this kind of monogamous relationship with somebody who's acting in
fully committed to him,
in this polyamorous kind of way. And the other partner is kind of irrelevant then, because what actually is coming into play is that.
Is the other partner irrelevant?
Yeah, because the polyamorous guy, the guy who he's telling him he's in love with, his behaviour, his worldview is that he's looking to be in multiple relationships, and that's who he is. That's what he is. That's not going to change. It's not. He's not going to dump one guy and open
up. You can't say that the other guy is not relevant, because if the polyamorous isn't being completely open with his partner.
That's nothing to do with the letter writer.
But it tells you a whole lot. It tells you a whole lot about your man.
This fella's saying, I'm in an open relationship, but he's not.
Okay,
yeah.
So
he's a big liar.
Of course, but that's kind of, I suppose the reason why I'm coming from where I'm coming from is that it's an oft-used slander against polyamorous people, that they are deceitful or they're on the down low or they're kind of cheating. But,
But how do you find out? That's the problem.
Social media, I would have thought. I mean, would you? If I was this guy, I'd be all over his Insta going, what does the other one look like? You know?
Well, yeah, that's true.
But don't know whether the other one knows that he's in two relationships or that his partner is also seeing somebody else. Like, that's the bit. Like, if you can trust this guy, or if there's some way of you meeting his partner and so you know that he's okay with the fact that Mr. Polyamory is seeing you as well.
But that's not what this guy wants. This guy wants him to leave him. That's
never going to happen.
So that's never going to happen. No. And even if it did happen, by the way, even if that other original relationship broke up, the guy who he's seeing is interested in and, you know, likes the polyamorous way of being. Yeah. So he's never going to have the delusion that he has in his head is that he'll win him over and they'll end up together. That's not going to happen. And therefore, the other partner is irrelevant. That's what my point was. It's actually, while I'm trying to be fair to people of a polyamorous persuasion, that there are people who aren't of a polyamorous persuasion. And those people, and they're just not compatible.
No. But polyamory only work, isn't the whole basis of that is that everybody knows.
Yeah, well, I mean,
everybody's buy into it. And that's what we're not sure of.
if you're polyamorous, should you really just be on the safe side, only have relationships with other polyamorous people? Because people who aren't polyamorous will get exactly the idea that this guy has.
Well, yes, but like all forms of kind of sexual orientations, whatever the word is, you don't have to act on your polyamorous, but you can be that way inclined.
But polyamorous in your head.
Yeah. Like loads of people are that.
We're all polyamorous.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
No, but we're not.
Now you're telling on yourself.
I suppose what I meant is there are many people who have the opportunity to be polyamorous who choose not to be, as opposed to people thinking of the chance would to hand it to themselves that they'd snatch at it.
So are you telling them he should bail?
I'm just thinking that he's dealing with somebody who he has to take on face value as what he's saying is this.
Okay.
And if the guy is lying, the guy could be lying about anything. You never know. Somebody's lying until the lie exposes itself. But from what I'm seeing is, there is a polyamorous person telling you that they're already in a relationship and they're in a relationship with you and they love you. I can see a world where none of that is untrue.
See, you're framing it in a very kind of
woke.
Woke, exactly. That's the word.
Well, modern.
In a very woke, modern way.
But this is real people with real lives.
In a heterosexual kind of world, women have dealt with this kind of baloney for years of like, oh, my wife doesn't understand me. She wouldn't really mind that much. Yada, yada, yada. So that's why I would say, I'm kind of worried about the partner fella that he doesn't know what's going on. And that is why I think that the polyamorous fella is kind of well shady.
You can live in a world where it doesn't have to be like sister brides kind of a scenario where everybody's kind of sitting around.
Sister who?
You obviously don't watch the same nonsense TV that I do.
What did he say? Do you know what he said?
Sister brides. I don't know that one.
Sister brides.
It's like some crappy reality show where the guy gets to have loads of wives and they all act, you know, like they're, you know, like poly, what's it, polygamy kind of vibe?
Yeah, okay.
I'll send you a link later, Barbara. Yeah. Okay. My point being that that fantasy world where all of this person's, you know, partners are all besties is a very, because, you know, the polyamory thing can work in both ways. The partner could be seeing other people as well, but that's not in the letter because it's none of his business and therefore it's none of our business. You know, some people are open in that way.
But you'd imagine he would have told him that if that was the case. He would, because I'm sure this guy is kind of like, must have referenced his partner a few times. And if the partner was also going out and having polyamorous relationships, you'd imagine he'd have said, oh no, Steve is grand. Sure, Steve's seen another, you know, he's seen Barry and John. And so we're all grand. It's all cool. But I don't think that is what's going on here.
But it would be nice
if you did. Especially when he's going around saying, I love you. Like,
yeah.
I still think that the onus on the person saying, I love you, is to mean what they're saying. And to be honest and open about what their vibe is. And if they're not able to understand that or accept it, then it's not for them.
We all know men that say, I'd love you just to get the ride.
I read a few women saying that as well.
Yeah. Of course I love you. I'm
there,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Jerry says, the person that asks the question normally knows the answer. Will it end in tears? Yeah. That's a good point.
Yep,
another texter says, Barbara might not have seen this relationship fully. The guy may be bi, and his wife is open to her husband's bi side. That's from Dan Heteronormative there. Maybe
yeah, but even if it is that,
there's no wife, Dan. It's a gay couple.
That's what I was thinking of.
Why did you inject your wife in here? Where did this wife come from?
The people who ask the question know the answer.
There you go. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.